Good afternoon, Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Agriculture enterprises that employ 500 or less people are eligible for the Paycheck Protection Program loans. These are the small business loans from the latest coronavirus economic stimulus package. Giddings & Associates CEO Mark Giddings says in the past, the Small Business Administration, or SBA, hasn't considered farms as qualified businesses. That changed with the latest stimulus package.
There's no revenue limitation for a farmer. Also, what they get under this program called Payroll Protection Plan is enough money to pay payroll for a two-month period. Once they get their loan approved, it has to be spent within 8 weeks after it's funded, and it has to be spent 75% for payroll and 25% for other costs. It also is available for the self-employed, so like a farmer who has a Schedule F or a farmer who's a partnership, their net profit from those activities is going to be qualified for this program. So the government will actually give you a loan to cover your draws.
As of April 3rd, the application process is open for small businesses and sole proprietorships. Self-employed individuals should be able to apply by Friday. Giddings says the government authorized all financial institutions and all farm credit organizations to originate the loans. However, some of the institutions are struggling to get into the SBA system. As a result, they may not be able to get a loan processed quickly. Giddings says Ag Country Farm Credit Services is sending farmers to their home banks, and Wells Fargo says they've reached the limit on the applications they can take. Now, this is consistently changing information.
There's no fees from SBA. The fees paid to the bank are paid by the government. It's a really good program. There's no cost, and there's very little risk. If you end up not spending the money during this 8-week period, all you have to do is pay back the loan for what wasn't spent and 1% interest. And I believe you get 2 years to pay that loan back. The rules have been changing a lot, but the 1% and the 2 years, I think, is the most recent we've heard on what the loan terms are going to be. The loan will be funded by your bank, whoever you apply to.
Giddings says everyone who is approved should get their money in April. Download the sample application and hear the interview with Giddings at rrfn.com.
Farm credit services across the country are struggling to get access to the Small Business Administration system to administer the Paycheck Protection Program loans. Ag Country Farm Services Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs Howard Olson says Ag Country is not taking applications until they know it can be forwarded to the Small Business Administration.
Most of the farm credits have not been gone through the steps of becoming an SBA approved lender, because in the past most farmers were not eligible for SBA loans and SBA programs. So we haven't gone through those steps and the hoops to do that. The Act and the final rules that came out said that farm credits are part of the delivery system on this. So even before about the time that the bill was signed into law, we were already working on it, digging through the details, educating our staff.
And Olson says customers should be working with their local bank if they can.
But we are hearing that other banks are having similar problems and challenges too. So it's a good program, and farmers are certainly eligible for it, but there's a limited amount of money, and it seems to be a very high demand. So we are concerned that the funding might run out on this before farmers are able to get an application submitted, whether it's through us or through another bank or lender.
Olson says lenders are in touch with lawmakers to expedite the SBA portal approval process, and if there is more funding allocated, they are asking it to be administered through the Farm Service Agency.
The coronavirus is negatively impacting a farmer's outlook on the economy. The latest Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer shows a decline of 47 points to a total reading 121 for March. This is the largest one-month drop in sentiment recorded. Survey participants indicate they are fairly worried or very worried about the impact of COVID-19 on a farm's profitability. 40% of respondents are expecting a worse year financially compared to 2019. Farmers are commenting on the trade situation. 62% of participants anticipates market facilitation program payments from the USDA this year.
Additional money may be set aside for the government's Paycheck Protection Program. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says a vote could happen Thursday to add $200 billion to this program. The Small Business Administration loan program was just launched on Friday, but McConnell says banks are struggling to keep up with the demand.
The National Ag Statistics Service will resurvey farmers in one more time about their unharvested corn and soybean acres. Farmers in Minnesota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, and Michigan will be contacted later this month with the new data released in the May crop production report. North Dakota still has a significant amount of the 2019 crops left unharvested and will be resurveyed at a later date.
Clayton Pope Commodities President Clayton Pope expects USDA to increase corn carryout in Thursday's supply and demand report to reflect the loss of ethanol demand.
So just kind of seeing what how the USDA wants to try to factor in this loss of ethanol demand. The average trade guess, I was kind of surprised, is only looking for about 120 million bushel increase in the corn carryover, something along those lines, whereas most people seem to think we're looking at, oh, I don't know, I've seen estimates anywhere from 200 to 400 or more million bushel cut in ethanol for the current crop year. So if it comes in only 120 million bushel cut, that would be a surprise. But frankly, I think the market is factoring in more of a cut than that, almost regardless of what USDA says Thursday.
Pope also says corn acreage will be watched closely in that report. Just a reminder, go to the Red River Farm Network for news content, podcasts, and the farm calendar at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Lowen & Associates President Pete Lowen thinks grain traders have built a slightly bearish supply-demand report into the futures market.
Yeah, as a whole, there's a lot of different ways to look at that. Obviously, when you start to go north of 2 billion bushels in corn, and I'm sure that's going to be coming from the ethanol side of that equation, it starts to add a little bit to the bearishness. Soybeans, if you look at it from a historical standpoint, 430 million bushels is still a huge number. But when it's down from close to a billion last year, then it's still a very significant decline in numbers.
Lowen says grain supply needs to get back to historical levels.
Even with just recent history, 400 plus is still a big number for beans. And on the wheat side of the equation, anytime you're anywhere in the vicinity of a billion bushels, that's too much wheat domestically. So we do have a problem with these crops, and that particularly soybeans and wheat that show it the most, that we've got an overproduction dilemma.
Brazil's soybean crop is expected to be slightly smaller due to dryness in the southern parts of Brazil. However, Brazilian ag business consultant Corey Melby says northern Brazil will more than make up for a reduction in the southern production.
A month ago, we're up at 128, and now we're starting to drop from that number. So I'm going to kind of stick with my number all along here at like 124, 125. A few million tons were nipped in Rio Grande do Sul. Was it as bad as some are saying? I don't think so. Again, we had such fantastic yields out here in the Cerrado. It just seems like everybody had, quote-unquote, 70 sack soybeans, 65 bushel an acre. Every field was like that. That's offsetting a lot of these drought issues.
From a poor quality feed to battles with Mother Nature, it's been a trying year for cow-calf producers. Those challenges have transpired into the 2020 calving season, with reports of unexplained calf abortions or deaths. However, producers can work to prevent losses in healthy, alive calves. NDSU Extension veterinarian Dr. Gerald Staka says to watch for scours, which typically occurs when calves are 3 to 15 days old.
Always remember that the main symptom that you're seeing is a depressed, dehydrated calf. And the main thing for treatment is to always remember those calves need fluids and they need electrolytes. And by that I mean potassium and some of those electrolytes that maintain that, we call it homeostasis. That just means that their body is in order. The next treatment that sometimes is administered, sometimes antibiotics are needed. And antibiotics are needed when we when there's been a determination that the bacterial infection has gone beyond the intestinal tract and gone systemic, then that calf needs antibiotic therapy.
Stucca also cautions cow-calf producers to watch for respiratory infections and coccidiosis in young calves.
Respiratory infections that are caused by bacteria will need antibiotic treatment, and so that's another thing. The other thing that may show up, especially for cows and calves that have been raised in confinement, is coccidiosis. Coccidiosis is one of those protozoan parasites that has an incubation time of 21 days, and that the symptom that you see there typically is a bloody manure. It can be tough. It's not a romance every day, that's for sure. There are some tough days, but right now it makes us feel a whole lot better with the sun shining and warmer temperatures.
The National Milk Producers Federation and the International Dairy Foods Association have submitted a joint request to the USDA seeking assistance for dairy farmers. With school closures in the food service sector at a standstill, dairy product sales have crashed. That's resulted in big losses in the milk check. In a statement, National Milk Producers Federation President and CEO Jim Mulhern says the immediate actions are needed to help dairy farmers survive a devastating market.
House Agriculture Committee Chair Colin Peterson is asking Attorney General Bill Barr and Commodity Futures Trading Commission Chairman Heath Tabor to monitor the U.S. cattle markets. With the dramatic changes in the futures market, Peterson wants the Trump administration to consider the possibility of market manipulation.
A bipartisan congressional coalition is urging USDA to include specialty crop producers in the latest coronavirus economic stimulus package. Those requests made to a letter to Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The combination of a wet fall and coronavirus has resulted in more uncertainty for farmers this spring. West Central Ag Services Territory Sales Manager Clyde Kringlin says extra communication will be needed.
We all have our coronavirus protocols in place at our offices, or that, you know, coming in, keeping the customers away, splitting up the staff. But we are getting equipment ready. We've got the guys that are getting equipment ready, getting ready, and there has been a lot more interest. It's definitely different for us at West Central Ag, trying to talk with our growers, and we're kind of a on-the-farm type company, and now it's all by phone and email and text, and that's even a challenge for, you know, me that's been doing this for 40-plus years.
Kringlin says the product is in position for the season ahead, but advises farmers to increase their communication with ag retailers.
It's always good to have a little extra lead time. I think if you know that next quarter is the field that's going to be ready in a couple of days, in my opinion, I think it's better if you get it, let the applicator know that you want to do that, or the company that you do it, and then if something changes, you can always change it. But it's hard to, you know, if you try to call on in the morning and say, I need this field spread this afternoon, it's going to be a real challenge this year because of the lack of fall last year that we had.
EPA Inspector General is reviewing the agency's decision to approve new dicamba formulations in 2016 and 2018. The IG report should be completed by late summer or early fall. It will determine if the EPA had controls in place to make sure pesticides are safe for people and the environment.
Taking a quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, May Minneapolis wheat down 2 at 524 and 3 quarters. May Chicago wheat down 6 and a quarter at 549 and a half. May corn up 4 and a half at 332 and a quarter. December corn up 3 at 351 and a quarter. May beans up a quarter at 855 and 3 quarters. November beans up 1 at 866 and a quarter. June live cattle up $4.50 at 84.80. April feeder cattle up $4.50 at $114.92. April lean hogs up $3 at $44.12. Taking a quick look at the farm calendar, NDSU Extension is hosting an online anhydrous ammonia safety training tonight at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. Be sure to check out the NDSU Extension website for more details. This is the Red River Farm Network.